welcome to episode number 38 of Nerds Talk Movies, nerdstash.com's podcast for all things movie and TV related. My name is Johnny Reynolds. I am your host. Joining me, as always, is Taylor Cole. Taylor, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I think we got a really good show, and I cannot wait to talk about what are we watching.
Oh, nice. Yes, we do have a good show. I am pumped to talk about Avatar. We've got a little bit of Marvel, we got a little bit of DC, but before we get into that, gotta go over my standard housekeeping, of course. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerdstash Show. You can hang out with us on Discord at the Nerdstash Community. Please check out the site, thenerdstash.com. Lots of great writers over there, doing, you know, daily news, daily reviews, daily guides as well. So yeah, lots of great stuff over there. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform of your choice, because we are basically on all of them. With that out of the way, we will start how we always start, with what we have been watching. So Taylor, you're excited to talk about this, so go ahead.
All right, so first off, I don't have this in our show notes, but I literally just got done watching WandaVision.
And okay, well, first, pause.
You have not.
I have not watched WandaVision yet.
It was a,
you know, listening for the first time, we record this on Friday. It is Friday right now. So the newest episode just aired, but no, I haven't watched it yet. So, you know, proceed with caution, please.
Oh, I would definitely will. It was just a really good episode. You know, what else can you really expect at this point but a really good episode? Right. So I'm not going to talk about that too much. We're going to have a spoiler talk. Now's the time to kind of say this. Next week, we're not going to have a news-centric episode. Yeah. I think the plan is to have a spoiler talk for WandaVision as a whole. So we'll be talking about everything from the first episode to the finale. We might just work backwards. You know, go from the finale backwards, because, you know, everybody's going to want to hear our thoughts on that. Or, you know,
right,
want to have
top,
their own thoughts on that, that they want to write in comments and stuff like that. So that's probably what we'll do. I've also been rewatching Justified. I just wrapped that up. The final scene of that show is just so, it's perfection. It really is. So then I got done with that. I was like, what am I going to watch next? And then I got a notification on my phone from, you know how Twitter has these little notifications that randomly pop up sometimes. And it said, Superman and Lois premiering tonight on CW. And I was like, I'm kind of out of the Arrowverse a little bit. But I'll give it a watch. It was really good. Like, the budget of this show far exceeded my expectations. Like, it looked like a Zack Snyder movie of level quality there. I'm not sure that, like, that level, but that's what it felt like when I was watching it. And I don't know, something about Superman, it kind of felt like Smallville, but Superman is the dad of it, and him having two teenage kids, and it kind of feels different than any Superman story we've gotten before, and that's what I really enjoy about it. And the villain of it seems pretty interesting, too. But I wanted to talk about this last one. Have you seen The Sinner? It's a show on USA, and I believe it's on
Netflix.
I
don't know what this is. No, okay. I have not seen it.
I love how I say I believe it's on Netflix. Like, I just not binged it there.
Right.
So, what this show is an anthology series that follows a detective, Harry Ambrose, as he solves these crimes. And there's three seasons out, three different cases. And I don't want to say anything about this. I really don't. For anybody listening, for you if you ever decide to watch it. But this show is really weird, but it is so damn good. Like, the twists and turns in it. You think the show, the first episode, I was like, oh man, this is very interesting. The second episode takes me on, like, a cliche kind of, like, oh, this is where it's going to go, really? You guys had a really good pilot episode, this is where you're going? Nope. Goes right out the window, and they just go in a completely different direction. And from there is just a great tale of, like, why this person did what they did. I want to leave it as open as possible, but basically the one thing I can tell you, this is stuff I did see in the trailer like years ago, and things I don't think is too spoilery. So Jessica Biel plays Cora, I can't remember her last name, but she plays this girl Cora, and she commits a crime in broad daylight, just straight up kills this person. and pretty much stands up. You get like the who, like you know, she did it, but the whole thing is why she did it, and just going through that mystery of why she did what she did, her past, like what possibly brought this up. It was so riveting of a story. I'm on season 2 now. It's still pretty good, but I don't think the case matches up to season 1 for me.
Yeah, interesting. I'm looking at it on IMDb right now, and it's got Bill Pullman in it, who I have not seen in anything. In
he plays Harry Ambrose.
He's Harry, yeah. It's an interesting concept, so I might have to check it out, because I had never heard of this, and it's already 3 seasons in. It's got nominated for a couple of Golden Globes, too. So I guess it was well-received, so I don't know why I never heard about it. But yeah, I'll have to check it out.
What about you, Josh?
As for me, my girlfriend and I are still continuing our very long journey of watching Doctor Who and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood back and forth. We are on season 3 of both of them, so... For Doctor Who, if you're listening, for listeners who have watched Doctor Who, I am in Martha's season. She is the companion now. So Rose was the first companion, and now I'm on Martha. And I gotta say, I like Martha a whole lot more than Rose. I know that I've always heard that like Rose is like one of the favorite companions, and I kind of found her a little bit annoying. But she also is sort of like the typical. Like damsel, like the doctor is like constantly rescuing her, but with Martha, who is an actual doctor, or at least was becoming one before she like goes off on her adventures with the doctor, she's very practical and she's very like level-headed, so she like keeps her cool in all of these crazy situations each episode, and she's really really smart and has great ideas, and I don't understand like why she doesn't get a lot of love as a companion, but. Whatever, that's just my personal preference. But it's really, really fun, the show is, I mean, and...
David Tennant is in that season. I just had to look it up. Because, yes, you know, obviously the
they do switch, yeah.
is switching of the Doctor.
Yeah.
So while you were saying that, I was like, man, I wonder who the Doctor is at this time.
Yeah.
Saw David Tennant's face, and I was like, yeah, yeah. I bet it was a great season.
Yeah, David Tennant is still the Doctor, I believe. He's the Doctor through season 4, and then it'll switch to Matt Smith in season 5. I could be wrong, but I think he got 3 seasons. But yeah, he's great. He's a lot of fun. He's very, very charismatic and energetic. So yeah, I'm still really enjoying the show. As far as Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, God, that show is so good. And the fight sequences are so great. If you're listening and have watched Full Metal Alchemist... We are at Briggs. We are in the north. We have found out some very, very interesting secrets that I guess I can't really talk about. Taylor, if you ever do decide to watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Where can I watch this?
Because the best. It's the best anime.
Where can I watch this? Because I'm watching, obviously, The Center, but that show is so dark that I know like Full Metal Alchemist gets dark, but... I feel like watching an anime is also a little bit lighter.
Just that's true.
At least be a little bit lighter than, you know, stuff I've been watching.
There's still some, like, traditional silly elements of anime in there. Probably a little bit lighter, but it does get pretty dark. It's on Netflix, though. All of it's on Netflix.
So I don't really have to go anywhere. Check it out there. And just go right exactly. from the center yeah. onto Full exactly. Metal Alchemist.
That is true, exactly. And the other thing I rewatched this week were the Paddington movies, because they're just adorable. And I didn't get a chance to talk about it on this, but yes, Paddington 3 is in development, which makes me very happy. I know the director of the first two is not coming back for the third movie. He is instead doing that Willy Wonka prequel movie, which we did talk about on this show. So he's doing that, but he's going to still, I think, be an executive producer for Paddington 3. But nevertheless, I'm just excited that it's in development. So I rewatched those two movies after hearing that news, just because I love them. They're incredibly charming and just make you feel warm and good inside. So it's just like the epitome of feel-good movies, Paddington. They're adorable. They're very, very British, and it's just very, very pleasant. So if you've never seen the Paddington movies, check those out. Anyway, with that segment being done, we will move on to our stories of the week. So we've got a handful of big stories that we wanted to talk about, but before we get to, you know, the rest of it, we did get some breaking news. Well, at least it is breaking for us, but everyone else will, of course, hear this episode days after the story already broke. But anyway, as first reported by Shadow and Act, Warner Brothers is planning a new Superman reboot. Author Ta-Nehisi Coates will write and J.J. Abrams will produce under the Bad Robot banner. No director or star has been found as of yet, but THR's report on the story indicated that this film will revolve around a black Superman. Here's an excerpt from THR's report. According to sources, the project is being set up as a black Superman story. This is something that the studio has been trying to wrap its head around for months, if not a year or two. Michael B. Jordan tried to develop a black Superman project when he first arrived at the studio with his deal in 2019, but that did not go very far at the time, according to sources. It is possible that the studio could return to him to star down the line. End quote. So, Taylor, what are your thoughts on another Superman reboot? And also, were you a fan of Henry Cavill's version of the character?
I was a huge fan of Henry Cavill's version of the character. I still feel like his character has room for, like, improvement. Like, we only got one movie, like, of him solo. You know what I mean?
One standalone, yeah.
So it's weird that they're going through with another reboot. And when it comes to would I want another Superman reboot, that's a tough question. If it's a Clark Kent story, probably the answer to that is no. And the main reason why, Johnny, is because one big problem about DC, what is it we have to see every time we see a Batman movie?
We have to see the Waynes get gunned down in Crime Alley.
Why? What is it every time we have to see a Superman movie?
We have to see Pa Kent either have a heart attack or get sucked up into a tornado.
That last one was pretty stupid. That was a drawback of Man of Steel there. But yeah, you are 100% right. It's a big drawback itself of the DC universe, in my opinion. So I really hope this isn't a Clark Kent story. I would love to see where they would go with a black Superman and with, like, the iterations of a different character and see their origin. Because Clark Kent, to me, I think it's played out, man. I really do. I think the let's have him get dropped down in Smallville, Kansas. He grows up. He becomes Superman. He, you know, saves Lois Lane. Like, we all know this story. Like, he's the number one superhero in the world. Everybody knows that origin. I would love to see a different take on it, you know?
Right. And you put here in the show notes a link to Val Zod, who I had no idea existed, that this story could possibly revolve around. So apparently, he is one of the last Kryptonians of his universe, which he comes from Earth 2, if you know anything in the comics. It, multiverse. You know, stuff. There's always a different universe. And he uses the mantle of Superman. So that, I mean, the report doesn't say that that would be the character.
No, I think I saw somebody in a comment, like, link to that wiki page, and I clicked on it, and I was like, that kind of, I started, like, connecting the dots of, like, Supergirl is going to be in The Flash, and maybe that's what they're trying to set up here. Is like another universe with that Supergirl and this Superman. And those are the stories we'll see. And maybe keep Henry Cavill's around just in case. But you have two other, you know, super people, I guess. That's the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. Right. That you can have to carry that, you know, Superman, Supergirl mantle.
Yeah, so, so of course the DCEU has sort of, like, you know, crumbled at this point. Aquaman had his, you know, well-received standalone movie. Wonder Woman, you know, does her own thing. So yeah, it would be interesting to, like, if they're going to create their own universe with the, you know, the different Supergirl from appearing in The Flash, with also this this Superman, it kind of leaves the DCEU to sort of be, or, you know, as we knew it at one point, to sort of be left behind. Because Ben Affleck, you know, he is pretty much done with Batman. You know, whatever is happening with Henry Cavill as Superman, that's, you know, all up in the air. And with Wonder Woman, you know, her own standalone franchise being able to, you know, maintain that popularity, and also with Aquaman being received so well, that sort of like Justice League sort of group that they tried to, you know, market and, you know,
it's kind of halfway shattered.
It's kind of, yeah, exactly. So if they still want to do, you know, characters, you know, that are, you know, similar but different, it'll be an interesting way to bring those people in with the Flash, I think. And I think that it partially, it will come not just from DC as a whole, but also the author that they hired to write this, which is Ta-Nehisi Coates, whose work I've never read before, unfortunately, but I do work at a bookstore, so I did know who he was when this story broke. So if you don't know who Ta-Nehisi Coates is, he's an author who primarily writes about social and cultural issues in regards to African Americans. He's also written some fiction. He's written for Marvel. He wrote on the Black Panther book, and then he also wrote on Captain America.
Yeah,
and on Captain America. So I'm hoping that, you know, DC didn't just look at his comics work, which has been very well received, and then hire him for that. I'm hoping that, I would guess also, that they would be looking at his work as a whole, just to bring a fresh take to Superman. So I hope that's what we get, because, I mean, I've never really cared that much about Superman, so I definitely am excited about this news. I like the thoughts of another Superman reboot, if it's going to be a fresh take, and not Clark Kent again. But as far as, like, Henry Cavill's version of the character, I never disliked him, like, specifically. Superman's just a character that I've never really cared for. But I thought that he did really well in the role with what he was given, and it does seem like a shame that his career of Superman seems to have been cut short if we're not getting, you know, another movie with him, which, who knows, we may.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, he's a busy person. Like, this is I brought up that idea of, like, that would make a lot of sense. You can keep Henry Cavill's version around. You can keep that universe around, but you don't need him. You would have this new Superman and Supergirl for that reason.
Yeah.
It all ends in, like, it's the execution of it, how it's done. Like any story like this, people are going to be complaining. So, Henry Cavill didn't get enough time, which is, in my opinion, I think that is true. But it is what it is, you know? Maybe this could be a fantastic movie that everybody looks back on in a few years and going, wow, it was such a good decision to reboot this franchise with a new take, because Superman needed a fresh take.
Yeah. And also, an interesting connection, J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot is also producing a Justice League Dark TV series, so it seems like J.J. Abrams, or at least as a producer, is, you know, putting a lot of faith and work into some DC projects.
Honestly, Johnny, I want to ask your opinion on this. I think, out of everything, I think the J.J. Abrams aspect is being lost in the background here.
I think it is, too, yeah.
And I feel like that's the part people should be talking about more than anything, especially after, like, The Rise of Skywalker, and J.J. Abrams' track record here recently has not been fantastic.
No, so, I mean, what is your thoughts on that? Okay, so what has he done recently that outside of The Rise of Skywalker? Has he directed anything other than that,
I believe,
recently, or is it one all just good thing?
Well, depending on who you talk to, I believe he was involved in that Brightburn movie. Am I wrong on that?
Oh, Brightburn.
Mm-hmm.
I can look it up. Give me 1 second. So it doesn't seem like he's directed anything like recently outside of The Rise of Skywalker. So I'm not like, I don't know. I like a lot of stuff that J.J. Abrams has done in the past. So, and plus, he's not going to be behind, or he's not going to be directing this.
Oh, fair enough. He's producing it.
Yeah, he's producing
it. Did I say he was directing it?
No, you did. So it's not going to be like, you know, his vision of this Superman movie. I hope they get a black director. I think that they should. But, you know, as of right now, they don't have one. So, yeah, I think that J.J. Abrams being attached to it just speaks to, you know, I guess the quality and the budget and the effects-wise, sort of the what we'll be getting, rather than, you know, the tone of the movie or, you know, the directorial style, mm-hmm. of course. So I'm not that worried about it, but I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
For me, I think it's just the name more than anything. The Rise of Skywalker, I know a lot of people have a lot of bad opinions on it.
Oh, so you're thinking if people, you know, really, you know, notice that J.J. Abrams is attached to it.
Starts to get noticed, that's where I think people are going to start to flock to that aspect of the movie. That's what I'm trying to get to. Gotcha. Me personally, I like The Force Awakens, but it seems like also here recently the general public has turned on it. Mm-hmm. So both movies that J.J. Abrams has directed here has not ended up well. But again, he's not directing it. He's producing it. It's just that I saw that name and I was like, that's the name everybody's going to dislike about this. And turns out, no, that's not what anybody's talking about at all. Everybody's talking about Henry Cavill and, you know, who should they cast and all this stuff.
Yeah. Hey, maybe it'll be Michael B. Jordan.
I'd be down for that.
Love. I would also be down for that, too. Moving on to our next story, which is a Marvel story. So after many hilarious fake titles from the movie stars and people online, we finally know the title for Spider-Man 3. It will be called Spider-Man No Way Home. But will this be Tom Holland's final Spider-Man movie? So in an interview with GQ, Holland talked about many things ranging from his Uncharted performance, which we'll get to that later, to his tenure as Spider-Man. The actor revealed that, as of now, he doesn't have a new contract on the table yet, and this could be his final Spider-Man movie. He said, quote, "No, sure, I hope not, but I don't have another contract yet. As I was cast as Spider-Man 6 years ago, I have always had the contract there as a safety net. I would never need to worry, as next year I always had another Spider-Man film, but not anymore. I'm just looking at my phone, waiting for it to ring with a new contract." The interviewer called back to how Holland found out that he was hired as the MCU Spider-Man, suggesting that maybe something similar could happen in this situation. Holland replied, quote, "Yes, maybe I'm already signed up for Spider-Man 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, without even knowing it." Now, before we get into the GQ article, Taylor, what are your thoughts on the official Spider-Man 3 title, No Way Home?
I did love how they did this. They had the movie.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah, it was really funny and cute.
Then when they revealed the titles, it was filled mm-hmm. with a bunch of fake ones. Like Spider-Man, Home Alone, and then the Home Alone was scratched out. And I was like, I'm not sure we can do this legally. Spider-Man Home Run, that one was crossed out. And I was just like, what? That doesn't even make sense. The Far From Home was there. And I was like, we already did this. So I just thought that they had a lot of fun with
Cool little Easter eggs. Yeah, that was fun. That was a cool little PR thing.
Because I have a feeling this, even if like we get another trilogy or two trilogies, I think this is the last home, like Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling if they do it, they might go with another name and stick with that for three movies.
Mm-hmm.
That might be what they do with it if they end up giving Tom Holland another trilogy. But I like the name, No Way Home, especially if it's a multiverse movie, which I'm pretty sure it's going to be at this point.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty sure. Watch it not be, though. Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't love it. I don't hate it. No Way Home. I do enjoy that they kept the home theme throughout the trilogy.
I think Far From Home might be the weakest of the three.
You think so?
I think so. I think Homecoming made a lot of sense. Far From Home, I know he's not New York, but I don't know. I feel like they might have been able to do a little better.
Fair enough.
But
anyway.
It's all right.
Yeah. Next question. So do you think this could be Holland's final Spider-Man movie, or is it only a matter of time before his contract is renewed?
I definitely think his contract is going to get renewed. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've really set up Tom Holland's Peter Parker as like the future of the MCU. And I know, like, he's not even set to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in, what, 3 movies' time? And then it's back to Sony. But it feels like there's so much money on the table that Sony and Marvel are going to have to come to an agreement again, like they did last year. Or was it in 2019? It's been, 2020 was a blur.
Yeah, that was 2019. Yeah.
So, yeah.
When they, like, renewed their contract.
Yeah, so I just feel like it's only a matter of time. Part of me, with the way Marvel is and Sony here lately, because Sony's kind of gotten their act together as of late. It's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
But the quote of, yes, maybe I'm signed up for Spider-Man 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I feel like that's more accurate for, like, Marvel, what they would set up for.
Oh, yeah, they're, planning things years and years in advance.
Probably just haven't been around to call them.
Yeah, exactly. So this is an interesting spot that I think Marvel finds itself in, because, I mean, what would they do if Tom Holland wasn't Spider-Man? Were they going to reboot the character again somehow in some other trilogy?
Well, like, I think people are like bringing Miles, but I think it's too early to bring in Miles. I think another trilogy would definitely do it. And I think
if we're talking like Miles in the MCU, that wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense, because Peter Parker is essentially Miles' age.
Are you saying if Sony just took the character back and rebooting it?
If it wasn't going to be Tom Holland again because his contract hasn't been renewed, then, you know, what happens to the character?
That would be what
I think at this point, that's like not having any like kind of Spider-Man on the big screen is just like lost money. People love Spider-Man.
That would be probably what Sony does, because I can't see them taking the character away and then not renewing Tom Holland's contract and then just rebooting the character again. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it would not. So you have to assume that Tom Holland, even if he isn't in, if, you know, however they write it, to have him not be in the MCU, that he would remain as Spider-Man, because people really enjoy him as the character, myself included. Any final thoughts, Taylor, or you want to move on?
After that awkward silence that I'm definitely keeping in the show, ready to move on.
All right. The next story we have here, which is the one that I am most excited about, Nickelodeon has announced a studio dedicated to Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. OG creators Michael DiMartino and Brian Konietzko will head up this new studio, just called Avatar Studios, and all content from this studio will premiere on Paramount Plus, which will be involved in another story later in the show. So, the first project for this new studio is going to be an animated film set to begin production later this year. Of course, no story details were released. We don't know like what era it's in, if it's going to be focusing on Aang, Korra, someone else. No one knows. But in a statement, President of Kids and Family Entertainment at ViacomCBS, Brian Robbins, said, quote, Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Korra have grown at least tenfold in popularity since their original hit runs on Nickelodeon, and Ramsey Naito and I are incredibly excited to have Mike and Brian's genius talent on board to helm a studio devoted to expanding their characters and world into new content and formats for fans everywhere. Creator-driven stories and characters have long been the hallmarks of Nickelodeon, and Avatar Studios is a way to give Mike and Brian the resources and runway to open up their imaginations even more and dive deeper into the action and mythology of Avatar as we simultaneously expand upon that world and the world of content available on Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon. Boy, that was a mouthful. So, I'll go ahead and give my thoughts on this, because I am so hype. Obviously, if you've never listened to the show before, I'm a huge, huge Avatar fan. I'm so excited right now. I'm tripping all over my words. You just heard it. I love this idea. I love that, you know, a few months ago, we talked on this show about how the original creators had to leave the live-action Netflix series because it just wasn't working out over creative differences. They, you know, when they signed on to that project, Netflix had them believe that they would be completely in control of the creative process, and that turned out to, you know, not necessarily be true, and it was very sad. And now here we get this news, and it makes it pretty much worth it, because even having the original creators attached to the live action show, when I heard that news, I was still a little bummed that we weren't getting an expansion on the world that we know and love. We weren't getting new stories in that. We were going to be retelling Aang's story. And my hope with this is that we get a third series. We get to see a show focused on an Earth avatar. I think that would be fantastic. But there's lots of different directions, of course, that they could go with the movie, with whatever they do next. So just the possibility alone has me so, so excited about this. Taylor, I'm going to throw it to you. I know you've never watched Avatar, but what are your thoughts on, you know, the creators and, you know, Paramount and Nickelodeon getting together to do this? And also, do you think it can help Paramount Plus succeed?
It's really cool to see the creators come back for this, because we were talking about the Avatar TV series over on Netflix and how they, you know, left the project because creative differences and all that stuff. So it is really cool to see these creators come back and head up a studio with the sole purpose of making movies and TV shows off of this franchise. That is not like a small thing. It really is. And I saw that story and I was like, man, this franchise, I always thought it had a big following, but I saw that and I was like, this franchise has a much larger following than I thought it did.
Yeah.
So it's really, I know I just repeated myself three times, but it truly is. It is cool to see, you know, that this franchise is going to live on through more movies and TV shows, because that Netflix show doesn't seem promising from what we've read about it.
Yeah, I wasn't super interested in it to begin with, and after hearing this, I'm like, well, now I really don't care.
Yeah, it could still be good, obviously, but at least that way, if it's not good, like, fans of the franchise can kind of fall back on it and be like, well, that didn't work out, but at least we have all this that's going to come out.
At least we have all of this other wonderful material.
And you can forget about the movie adaptation that was made, like, years ago.
Yeah, it's just as terrible as you remember.
I feel like I really, like, cut into an old wound by bringing that up.
Yeah, it's
is it really that bad?
It's really that, it's horrendous. I mean, okay, granted, they do try to fit a season's worth of story into 2 hours, which is never a good idea, but also just, like, the acting is really, really awkward, and they get a lot of the pronunciations of just, like, basic things, like character names wrong. Yeah, it's,
How it's mad would watch. You be if I watched that movie first before the series?
So, okay, well, that would that implies that you would still watch the series, though.
It depends on how bad the movie is.
Oh, yeah, if you watch the movie first and you base any kind of judgment on that, then yeah, it's really bad, and it's not going to want to make you watch the show. But the show is fantastic. Everyone should watch it. If you're listening and you haven't watched it, I'm sorry, but you should go watch it. It's very, very good.
Isn't it on this thing called, we haven't talked about it yet, but isn't it on Netflix?
Yeah.
This platform that has been mentioned at all on the show.
So here's what's funny to me is that, Avatar has always been, you know, pretty popular, of course. But, you know, what's his name? Brian Robbins. He says it in his quote here. Avatar and Korra have grown at least tenfold in popularity since their original hit runs on Nickelodeon. And I saw that happen in real time recently when they put all of Avatar onto Netflix. This was, you know, last year. It got tremendously popular again, which is why they then put Korra onto Netflix, and it just kept that ball rolling. So yeah, the Avatar fan base has grown a lot in popularity, and Netflix, you know, kind of helped it recently grow in more popularity, and then, you know, had the falling out with the creators, and now there's going to be this other streaming platform that will have Avatar content that is
an entire studio. More,
an entire studio.
Dedicated.
Avatar content that's a lot more desirable than Netflix's content.
Probably.
Which is just, so that's, yeah, it's funny in an ironic kind of way, I think. But yeah, I think this is great. Speaking of Paramount Plus as succeeding, obviously there were a lot of things that were announced for Paramount Plus. But a lot of the things that were announced outside of this, you know, I thought was just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, they're rebooting Rugrats. They're rebooting, or not rebooting, but they're bringing back Frasier. There's also a new Paramount, a new Paranormal Activity movie that's going to debut only on Paramount Plus. So there's some, you know, a couple of cool things going on with it. But this is what excites me the most. And it's also cool. I forgot. Their movies will appear on the streaming platform, Paramount's, I mean, will appear on the streaming platform 45 days after their theatrical debut, which is also pretty cool. But no, this is what's going to get me excited and signing up for Paramount Plus.
Yeah, let's shift this over to the Paramount Plus conversation. That way I can also put in a timestamp, and it makes sense. So, yeah, let's just talk about most of this now. And we're talking about one specific story of a franchise going to Paramount Plus here in the lightning round, so let's not talk about that. But overall, this Paramount Plus service, it's another streaming service.
Unfortunately, yes.
I mean, it kind of feels like this is starting to become cable to me. I don't know about you. Even taking away the... I know I'm not a big Avatar fan. It is awesome to see, you know, the studio dedicated to making more content there. It does make me want to watch the series a little bit more. But other than that, I'm not seeing much here. And that Rugrats movie, show, reboot, whatever's going on there, a lot of people... It does look creepy, but a lot of people have a lot of opinions on, like, it ruined my childhood, or this ruins my childhood, and stuff like that. And we talked about on the Nerd Stash show of, like, people overhyping or over-exaggerating. This is one of those situations. Yeah, the animation looks creepy. I'm 100% in agreement with that. But it's not like it ruins my childhood of watching, you know, Rugrats as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about ruining childhood and all that. But no, so yeah, there's... Yeah, you said it all. It's another streaming platform, and it is starting to feel a bit like cable. At least the difference here is that I have, like, a network of friends and family members that have various streaming platforms that we all just sort of, like, share around with. Like, I pay for one, and then, like, my mom pays for one, and then, like, my roommate is also how I get HBO Max, and, like, there's all these different, you know, people that factor into the equation. But still, there's not much here, I think, at least for me, and it sounds like for you, Taylor. That's really going to make me want to sign up for another streaming platform.
It's just that it's
but just
three
Avatar.
Too many at this point, right?
Three too many, yeah.
Four too many. Like, we have Apple TV that's got, like, Ted Lasso, and HBO Max is going to have all those movies, and Netflix is going to have stuff, and Hulu's going to have stuff. Hulu apparently has live sports. I don't know if you heard those commercials or not. I'm getting tired of seeing them all over the place.
Yeah.
And then we have stuff like Paramount Plus and, you know, CBS All Access, which is about to become Paramount Plus.
Correct. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that that bit of it. But yeah, CBS All Access will become Paramount Plus.
So maybe there will be enough content down the line. Yeah. Maybe, you know, stuff like what we're going to talk about here shortly, the Halo series, is going to be really good. But I'm not sure, man. We're just going to have to see, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. Next up, we have a Twisted Metal series officially in the works. So Variety has reported that a live-action Twisted Metal series is officially moving forward, with Sony Pictures Television and PlayStation Productions developing the project. Here's a description of the series from the Variety report. The show is about a motor-mouthed outsider who is offered a chance at a better life, but only if he can successfully deliver a mysterious package across a post-apocalyptic wasteland. With the help of a trigger-happy car thief, he'll face savage marauders, driving vehicles of destruction, and other dangers of the open road, including a deranged clown who drives an all-too-familiar ice cream truck whom fans of the game will know as Sweet Tooth. It's also described as an action comedy, with Deadpool franchise writers Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick attached to the project as executive producers, along with Will Arnett via his Electric Avenue production company. Cobra Kai's Michael Jonathan Smith will write and executive produce the series. Taylor, any thoughts on this?
This description reminded me of one movie. What movie do you think that was?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes. That sounds like Mad Max Fury Road, and I'm 100% down for it. I think that is a fantastic way to go about making an adaptation to Twisted Metal. Down to the, including a deranged clown driving a ice cream truck. Like, that just sounds on point with something I might see in a Mad Max thing. Like, so out there. But I think it's great. I do. I'm in. I don't know exactly where this is going to stream or air or anything like that, but I'm in so far. Especially with the names attached. Because Deadpool's awesome, Will Arnett's awesome, and Cobra Kai is awesome.
Well, I can't speak for Cobra Kai because I haven't watched it yet. But yes, Will Arnett is awesome, and so is Deadpool. And Deadpool, that's the part that really like perked my ears when I read through this report. So I have like vague memories of playing some early Twisted Metal games at a friend's house, like on their PlayStation, because I grew up with a Nintendo 64, so I didn't really have access to Twisted Metal. So it wasn't, you know, like a franchise that's like near and dear to my heart or anything like that. But this description, like you said, with the Mad Max Fury Road vibe, I think setting it in a post-apocalyptic wasteland is a pretty good move, because, you know, maybe I don't remember, but I don't think there's a whole lot of story or lore to Twisted Metal. Pretty much it's just...
I was a kid when I played these games. I didn't play these games much, but I don't remember any kind of story.
But, like, is it a post-apocalyptic wasteland, or is it just, you know, arcadey, you know...
It felt like derby, it was just arcadey.
Derby game, right? Yeah.
To me, at least. Keep in mind, I'm 7 years old here,
right?
So don't like base my opinion on anything here as fact.
Yeah, so it may be post-apocalyptic. There's probably some, you know, at least basic story that sort of sets up why these people are doing what they're doing, but I don't remember what it is. Regardless, I think that the post-apocalyptic wasteland is a great fit because it just sort of, you know, fits with the insanity of what I can remember in terms of, like, gameplay and the characters of Twisted Metal. And, of course, you know, you gotta have the clown mascot make an appearance with his ice cream truck.
Yeah, that'd be like having a Mortal Kombat movie without Scorpion. Like, it's the poster. Like, you can't not have Sweet Tooth in here.
Yes, exactly, you can't. So yeah, I don't know, like you said, we don't know where this is going to appear or who's going to be in it or anything like that, but I will definitely be checking it out, just, if anything, out of curiosity, whenever it does appear.
Into the lightning round?
Into the lightning round. Sorry, I was looking at something else on my computer. But yes, that does it for our main stories of the show. So moving on, we will get to the lightning round, which is pretty much what it sounds like. Smaller stories that may not have led.
With less awkward pauses.
With less awkward pauses, yes. First up in the lightning round, Tom Holland has reflected on his performance as Nathan Drake. So in the GQ article we talked about earlier, Tom Holland talked with GQ about his performance as Nathan Drake in the upcoming Uncharted movie. Unfortunately, it seems like Holland wasn't too proud of his performance. He said, quote, "As soon as you start worrying about, do I look good in the shot, acting becomes something other than playing a character. I think there are elements of my performance in Uncharted where I kind of fell under that spell of being, I want to look good now, I want this to be my cool moment. I had to play this very tough, very stoic guy, basically be Mark Wahlberg. My character is supposed to be an action hero in this moment. Look, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if I succeeded in that. But it was an important lesson learned, because at times it was less about land a mark and go through this scene, and more about land a mark, stand like this, and see my bulging biceps. It was a mistake, and is something that I will probably never do again, end quote. So yeah, that's a pretty negative outlook on his performance in an upcoming movie. And interesting that I don't ever remember hearing actors really talk about like their upcoming movies or their performances in this kind of way. But Taylor, does this make you any more concerned about the Uncharted movie?
Honestly, props though to Tom Holland here for...
Yeah, it's very open
being,
and honest.
Yeah, being open and honest, like, hey, I might have done a good job, but me personally, I didn't, because I think we all kind of relate to that. Yeah. I think we've all had days, whether it be us here, you know, writing or doing this podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. John, you do videos for Watch Mojo. Like, mm-hmm. There's days where, you know, you just feel like you don't got it.
Yeah, where you question yourself, like, do you deserve this opportunity? So it is very relatable.
I've worked retail. I've had days where I felt like, yeah, I don't feel like I did shit today, or feel like I worked way too slow and we didn't get stuff done that we should have got done. I feel like everybody else has those days. So it was just one of those things that we went like, yeah, I think we've all been there, man. But man, when it comes to this Uncharted movie, this is just another reason why it's cursed, right?
Yeah, this poor movie. This I'm pitying this poor movie that, you know, isn't a living thing because it's been in development for like 12 or so years.
I have this, it's a glimmer of hope at this point that it still ends up being average. I don't even want it to be great anymore or even good. I just want it to be average. That's how cursed it feels.
I have a feeling that, yes, it will be average. I don't know. I'm just expecting it to be just kind of all right. Even though I love Tom Holland, and I know the director has done some good movies in the past, Venom was not one of them, but he did do that movie. Even still, I don't know. I'm just expecting average, and that's probably just because video game movies in general, even though they do seem to be in an uptick. So no, this doesn't make me more or less concerned for the movie as a whole. I think this is probably just him being self-conscious. But I think that I think it's just a really interesting thing for an actor to say, because, you know, there's always that weight of celebrity where they're like expected to be, you know, perfect shining stars who are adored by many. So it's just, it's interesting to hear him reflect on a performance that we haven't even seen yet. And
you bring up
in such an honest way,
you bring up like the Hollywood factor, and that's another thing too. Like Hollywood, there's so much fakeness. And that's what I brought up at the top of the show with the Superman thing, is like, it feels like sometimes Hollywood does things just to get like fake credit instead of doing something genuinely pretty cool. And that's where my concern was with that. And that's where I kind of look at that quote and I'm like, yeah, man, that was kind of a not Hollywood thing to say. Usually, you know, an actor would be like, yeah, I did great. It was a great thing. And then 3 months later, that was a terrible experience. Look at Justice League. Everybody now is talking about like Justice League was such a terrible movie. All the executives said, oh, Joss Whedon's vision, we didn't know what it was, and we just had to throw it out there. Maybe it was like that, maybe it wasn't, but, I mean, when it was coming out, everybody was saying, oh, it's the best movie ever, you know? I know you gotta sell tickets, so that's what you gotta do, but there is that level of honesty that I kind of appreciate.
Yeah.
His performance in this movie still might be really good. He might just be way too hard on himself here.
He might be. We'll just have to wait and see. Which I think Didn't a bunch of Sony movies also recently get delayed again, and this was one of them?
Movies get delayed every week, man. It's hard to keep track of.
It's really, really, it's really, really hard to keep track of all the movies that
get delayed. We could do a weekly segment on this show, but I feel like it would take me just forever. to it's get all the movies together at this point.
It's specifically hard to keep track of this one, too, just because it's delayed time and time again. I'm going to be there watching it day one. I just, you know, am going to have to be reminded when day one is. Next up in the lightning round, though, is Henry Cavill teasing a new Mass Effect project?
Please. Please tell me.
He just might be, Taylor. On Instagram, Cavill posted that he was working on a secret project with the caption, "Secret project? Or just a handful of paper with random words on it? Guess you'll have to wait and see. Happy hump day, all." Unfortunately, the words on the paper were blurred out. However, using a program called Focus Magic, Game Pressure managed to clear up the image. By clearing up the image, Game Pressure learned that some of the words on the paper included Cerberus, Reaper, Geth, and Talizora. Apologies if I am pronouncing that last one wrong. Game Pressure also discovered that this text probably comes from the Mass Effect 3 Wikipedia page. So, Taylor, are you up for a Mass Effect movie or series? It kind of sounded like you were.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for this. Put Henry Cavill as Commander Shepard in a Mass Effect series. And then that we have him as The Witcher and as Commander Shepard. Put them both on Netflix. I don't care. I think that'd be fantastic. I would happily just tell, like, hey, Henry Cavill, don't even worry about coming back to Superman. They're going to do something cool without you. You got The Witcher and Mass Effect.
I think he'll be set. Especially since, like, he is such a giant nerd. In multiple different ways.
Henry Cavill gives gamers...
He loves... What were you going to say?
Henry Cavill gives us gamers way better of an image than we deserve.
Oh my god.
He does. The way this dude looks, and he's over here like, I play Overwatch, and here's my computer, and he's over there playing The Witcher.
Watch me build this PC.
Yeah, I'm like, you are really giving like gaming way better of a picture than it really is in all reality.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I've never played Mass Effect, so this isn't something that I don't know like who we should play or, you know, if I would be excited for it. But I just appreciate that Henry Cavill is into all of these different, you know, video game nerdy things. And then he goes after these projects and, you know, ensures their quality and all that.
Because, what if he just
it's just nice to have someone, you know, who is passionate about those things, you know, playing an active part and bringing it to the world. I think that's great.
Most definitely. What if he just printed out the Wikipedia page and, like you said, is this just a bunch of random words? And, like, he's just, you know, what if he's playing Mass Effect and he just thought to do this and mess around with people? That would just so sad.
He did say, or just a handful of paper with random words on it. What if it was just that?
I'll just destroy the internet and blur it out. Only for people, you know, to spend a lot of hard work to, you know, unblur it and use this, what was it? Focus Magic program.
Focus Magic,
That would be just very disappointing, man. It really would.
It would. I don't see any reason why he would do that, though. So there's that. So probably going to be getting a little Mass Effect announcement here in the coming future. But moving from one video game project to another, via Deadline, the Halo series, which was supposed to be premiering on Showtime, is moving over to Paramount Plus, and the series is on track to premiere in Q1 of 2022. Taylor, over on the Nerd Stash show, you're known as the Xbox guy, so I want to get your thoughts on just the existence of a Halo show in general, but first, are you concerned about the move from Showtime to Paramount Plus?
I think at first I was, but then when I realized more what Paramount Plus was, and what they're trying to hit, I'm like, okay, that's fine. They're just trying to get people to get Paramount Plus instead of, oh, this isn't going well. Let's throw it on the streaming service. Yeah. Because initially, that's what I thought it was things.
That's what I thought it was too.
Well,
yeah, and then I read into it.
But it seems like it's more of just like a, well, Paramount Plus is going to need the help of having something like huge here. So that's why I probably think it was here. I am concerned about the show itself. And I'm not sure, I read this somewhere, I'm not sure if it was like in a comment section, if it was in an article, but there was a comparison made between Halo and The Mandalorian. And my head immediately went to, oh my god, don't turn Halo into The Mandalorian. But, you know, yeah. Halo. That would be really bad and just not work at all. The one thing I would want them to take is just he never takes the helmet off, which I think that's an obvious thing to do, but that's my one concern about it. I wonder if he will.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, have any, like, hopes or, like, disappointments or, like, real thoughts on this show when we don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I think we, it was, yeah, it, I'm looking at the Deadline report right here. They filmed 55-60% of the first season when the coronavirus pandemic shut down all production last March. So they were sort of like, I guess, floating around the idea of having it premiere on premiere on Paramount Plus for a little while before they were able to finish.
I know Spielberg filming is attached. That's about it.
Yeah. And Pablo Schreiber, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He is playing Master Chief. I'm looking at the IMDb page also. I've seen him pop up in various things. Specifically, the thing that I remember him from most is Orange is the New Black.
Is he voicing Mass Effect, or like, is he going to be in the suit? I feel like whoever they get for the suit.
Is he voicing Mass Effect?
Oh.
Is he voicing Master Chief?
Yeah, I was looking at the Mass Effect story on it. Is he voicing Master Chief, or is he going to be in the suit as well? Because Master Chief, not Mass Effect, Master Chief is supposed to be really tall, I believe. Like, it's supposed to be this, like, the mountain level of a person in this
suit. Yeah, he's, super imposing. He's essentially a super soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's going to be in the suit or just, like, voicing him, like, if Master Chief does never take off the helmet. I don't know if we've even gotten any, like, set photos, like, of him in the suit or anything like that.
I don't think we have, man. I feel like we would have talked about it.
Yeah, I feel like we would have heard about that. That would have been everywhere. It's just like, here's your first look at Master Chief in the Halo TV series.
Especially the places, like, I know you go for news, the places I go for news, and the fact that we're on social, we would have seen it by now, I think. Unless we just really fell through the cracks for us, and somebody's going to put a comment like, here are the set photos right here, you dummies, which would be fantastic if that were the case.
It's entirely possible. But yeah, I'm interested in this. I'll check it out. I will give it a chance. I'll pretty much give any kind of video game live action retelling a chance, though, because I think there's a lot of potential in adapting video games to other mediums, and I think that TV especially is really great. I've talked about it on this show before. The Castlevania series on Netflix is just top tier awesome. Super violent, and just super sleek and just really, really fun. Lots of cool fights, lots of cool monsters. So I think adapting towards going the TV route, I should say, is probably a better way for something like Halo 2, because there's all of that lore about the universe and everything that you don't want to try to overwhelm a movie audience with. So I am interested in this, and I will definitely check it out whenever it comes out to Paramount Plus. So that's something else to look forward to.
That lore too is exactly why I was also suggesting Mass Effect as a series, because there's just so much lore in that franchise.
Don't make Mass Effect a movie. I haven't even played Mass Effect. I know that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's so much to throw into a movie. Same thing with Halo. Like, we've seen how, for example, I don't think Assassin's Creed could be a movie. I don't think it can. I feel like it has a series.
Well, they sure did try, though.
They did. It did not work out.
Yeah, apparently not. Next up, Disney Plus has revealed premiere dates for several projects. This, I'm just going to run through them right here. Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming March 19th. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers is coming March 26th. Loki will come June 11th. Star Wars The Bad Batch May 4th, which is, you know, of course, May the 4th be with you. Monsters at Work coming July 2nd. And Turner and Hooch, which I didn't even know was a thing, is coming July 16th. So, Taylor, I know you're probably excited about the Marvel stuff, as am I. Are you excited about any of the other upcoming projects?
Of course, Johnny, you're right here. Just as you always are. You're 100% right. I'm excited for the Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting less excited for Falcon Winter Soldier. I think I'm kind of unfairly just judging it because how good WandaVision is. I mentioned this last week, and I'm like, WandaVision's so good. I feel like Falcon Winter Soldier has the unfortunate, like, circumstances of going after it. Like, even Loki would be after this, and I'd be like, ah, Loki, you're kind of, it's a bad placement for you.
Yeah, I think, so Falcon and the Winter Soldier was intended to be the first one, but, you know, of course, COVID impacted everything. And I think it would have made a good first one, but following up WandaVision does kind of stack the cards against Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It looks very similar to, you know, what we've seen in traditional, like, less intense Marvel movies. And I say less intense in terms of, like, you know, people with superpowers. It looks similar to what we've seen before, whereas WandaVision is very unique and very original and just very strange and out there, and that's why people love it.
I haven't seen The Clone Wars, so I don't know really about The Bad Batch. That's a great release day for it. I've seen The Clone Wars, but I haven't seen, like, the last two or three seasons. Okay. So I need to catch up on that. Monsters at Work, I think I'm going to end up watching that just because of the nostalgia-ness of it. You know, we watched that franchise as kids. Didn't they have, like, a prequel college movie?
I remember seeing that one. Monsters University, yeah.
That was all right. And the Turner and Hooch, I did not know about this either. I believe Josh Peck is playing Turner. If I'm not mistaken. From, if people do not know, Drake and Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't even know. Yeah, a series is a development. Yeah, I'm really excited for Monsters at Work because Monsters, Inc. is my favorite Pixar movie. It's delightful. I'm interested also because I thought Monsters University was okay. But I really wanted to see, like, if they were going to make another one, it be set, you know, after the first movie and instead of before the first movie. And this is going to be set 6 months after, you know, changing out their energy source for children's laughs instead of their screams, which are, you know, more powerful if you remember the movie. So I'm interested in where and how it is set after the movie, but also just because I love Monsters, Inc. And then, of course, there are the Marvel shows. I'm still excited for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm still excited for Loki. It's just, I don't know how they're going to live up to WandaVision, because that show is fantastic. Also, I have not seen The Clone Wars, so I
forgot about The Mighty Ducks, too.
Oh, yeah.
Game Changers.
That's one of those things. The heavy nostalgia one there.
Yeah, that's a nostalgia one. I don't know how that's going to go. I still want to know if that's a movie or a TV series.
I think it's a TV series, but keep talking and all.
I think Mighty Ducks will work very well for me if they Cobra Kai it. And what I mean by that is just take the franchise, use the characters that were, you know, old, and bring them back, you know, and just, you know, check in on them, see what they're up to and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a franchise that's very ripe for that kind of story. And I've seen the trailer for the Game Changers. It looks pretty okay. I don't think there's anything there that's, you know, not just like a nostalgia project.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. Also, yes, it is a TV series. Emilio Estevez is back, and then Lauren Graham also stars in it. But yeah, TV series. Definitely a nostalgia-heavy pick right there. But that's it for the lightning round, which means it is almost it for the episode. We're going to close it out here how we always close it out. Taylor, what are you working on, and where can people find you?
If you would like to hear more of me for some reason, I don't know why, but some people do, you can also check out the Nerd Stash Show. It's our gaming podcast. What were our topics yesterday? It was Nintendo Direct.
State of Play.
Not Nintendo Direct. It was the State of Play. I'm getting our weeks confused, man.
Yeah, so the conversation sort of like...
It brought distorted in the Nintendo into Direct. The Nintendo yeah. Direct from
But it started because ago. Of the State of Play, yeah.
Yeah, so the State of Play State recap, of Play. We talked about Anthem being dead again.
Zelda Memories for the 35th. Oh, yes, and also Anthem being dead, R.I.P. And also and Zelda Memories.
Yeah. Yeah, of Zelda because they're celebrating their 35th anniversary, and all three of us, Johnny, myself, and Brandon Stevenson, the host, had some really awesome memories and feelings about the franchise as a whole. You should definitely check that out. You can also check me out at RamboFactor on Twitter or over at ModernWarZone.com, where I write about Call of Duty, and TheNerdStash.com. We also put that at the beginning of the show, and you should definitely check that out, too.
Nice. As for me, I wrote an article over on Looper.com. It's the entire Last of Us timeline explained, so... It's essentially a breakdown of important story moments, but also, you know, the foundation of the various groups and factions that are play a big roles in the Last of Us universe. So you can go check that out. And you can also find me over at thenerdstash.com. I primarily write news over there, but occasionally I do a video game review. And you can also follow me on Twitter at @avatar_Johnny. But that does it for another episode of Nerds Talk Movies. Thank you, Taylor, for joining me, and thank all of you so much for listening. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerdstash Show. Check us out on Discord at the Nerdstash Community. Please visit the site, thenerdstash.com. And, of course, if you did like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice. But with that being said, stay safe, everyone, and take care.